of you in here has ever played draw your sword before? Have you ever played that before? Tink has. She's the one who told me about it. She played at church. She's out of this morning. What I'm going to tell you this morning is, I'm going to give you a scripture, and the first one that can get to it, I'm going to get to read it this morning. How about that? Jonah, first chapter, fourth verse. Jonah, first chapter, fourth verse.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like the wreck.
There, she drew her sword first. Amen. That's why the only reason I did, I want you to get involved in it this morning before we get started. But I'm going to be preaching on something this morning, the hard truth about obedience. Sometimes it's hard to swallow, is it not? This story that we're going to read here, whenever it comes to obedience sometimes, you know what? It is, the truth about it is hard to swallow sometimes. It is. Whenever God wants us to be obedient, whenever God tells us that He wants us to do something, we have got to make a choice whether or not we're going to be obedient to what God wants in our life, right? We are. I'm going to read some more of it here, then we're going to have a word of prayer. But that's where we're going to start at, in the book of Jonah, the first chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that there were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea might be calm unto us? For the sea was wroth, and was tempestuous. And he saith unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth unto the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon us. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wroth, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart. Again, Lord, be able to stand behind this sacred desk this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as this message goes out, Lord, I pray, Father, that it would be your will be done here this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that it would go out the way that you intended it to go out. You know, Father, I ask you all the time, and I mean this, Lord, get me out of the way, Lord. Let the word be touched. Let it touch hearts here this morning in a way that you would have it to be done. And Father, we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. And amen. There's probably not a story in the Bible that's more ridiculed than this story that I just read to you here today. I want to say this. You know, people down through the ages have tried to say that it's not true. They've tried to say that the Bible's been misinterpreted when the Bible says, when it's written in the Bible. And I don't have to go into you tell you how I feel about the Bible. Most of you here know that I believe that if it's in there, it's in there. And it's true. Amen? I'm not going farther with that. I think you know what I stand on that. The fact of the matter is here where Jonah is concerned, where it's concerned, and I stand thinking what the main point here is, that you know what's not so much that Jonah was thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish or a whale or however they want to say it. It's not the point that I want to make here this morning. The point, the focus of it is that he asked Jonah to do something, and you know what? Jonah flat out refused to do it. He flat out refused to do it because God loved him, though. Because God loved him, you know what? He took and would not let Jonah off the hook. Am I right? Oh, you know what I'm saying? Because God loved Jonah, he would not let him off the hook. He wouldn't let him get by with being disobedient. So God got Jonah's attention. Did he not? Jonah finally obeyed. And guess what? There was a massive revival that broke out. Amen? That's what obedience can do if we're willing to be obedient to God. So to me, the main message of the book of Jonah is not so much that Jonah was cast overboard and a whale swallowed him up, but that God gives second chances. Does he not? There's not a person in here this morning that wouldn't say say to me or to God himself, you know what? Thank God that he gives second chances. Because the God that I serve, he does it. Let's back up a little bit here, and let's just go into the rest of the story. The prophet, and he tells him to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh. That's what God tells Jonah to do. If you read this, but Jonah's response was a flat out no. And you know what God's response was? He said, oh yeah? Oh yeah? You said no? Well, you know what? I think God has the last word in the subject, don't you? And I'll tell you what, he loved Jonah enough. Jonah refused and even found a boat that was going in the opposite direction. Did he not? We know this story. You know what? There's too many that are doing the same thing in this world we live in today. You know what? They refuse or they'll even find a boat going in the opposite direction. You know what they'll do? They'll hop on a rookie and they want to go totally away from God, what God wants them to do. That's what they'll do. And then God's dealing with those people in the church world today and even out of the church world. God's dealing with those kind of people that he is. But for whatever reason, they think in their minds they refuse to believe that Jesus is coming back to get his church and to take his people out of this world. And whenever he does, there's not going to be no hope for whoever. They're people. And you know what's so sad to me, Jamie, is? There's people sitting in churches this morning that don't believe that either. And that is sad to me. That's very sad to me. The reason Jonah did what he did is because he hated the Ninevites. Did you know that? The reason he did that, well, they were very wicked people. They were known for murder. They were known also for horrific atrocities that they did. They were known for, they were so wicked that God even said in Jonah 1:2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. They stunk to high heaven. Can I say that? That's how bad Nineveh was. That's how bad Nineveh. You know what? Then, and oh, by the way, if you don't think God doesn't notice that kind of stuff today, I want you to know you're fooling yourself if you're one of those that think that way this morning. And there are some out there that think that. You know what? Over in Jeremiah 16:17, it tells me, for my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. This world may think that they're fooling God. This world may think that they're getting away with a lot of things. But I'm here to assure you this morning that they're not getting away with nothing. It's going up to heaven. It stinks to high heaven. I'm afraid to tell you that's more, but it does. The Ninevites were the enemies of Israel. They were. So Jonah wanted nothing to do with going and preaching to those people. He wanted nothing to do with it. You know what? In a way, old Jonah was a racist, because you know why? You know, he knew the nature of God. He knew God was merciful. He knew God was loving. He did not want the Ninevites to hear a message. He did not want to hear of hope and then be spared. He was told to go and preach and he refused. You know what? He did not want to go there that those people would be saved. God had told him to go and preach. God knew what was going to happen. And you know what? Jonah did not want to obey. He did not want to do it. Not so well. He found a ship going in the other direction. He paid his fare himself. And you know what a good point for us is? If you're ever running from God, I want you to understand this. You're going to pay your own fare. All right? You're never going to get to where you thought you were going. I want to tell you that right here this morning. You'll never get there. If you're searching for happiness and you're running from God, I'm here to tell you it may be happiness for a while, but in the end, you will not find true happiness until you get to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to remember this. Remember this old saying? I wrote it down. I remember this. I used to hear this a lot. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And cost you more than you ever intended to spend. Am I right? Sin will do that to you. It will do that to you. But also remember this. God will always have the last word. I want you to remember that. God will. So what's the hard truth about obedience, of being hard to swallow? Look at Jonah 1 again, 4 and 5. It said, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea there that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I want you to know something. God sent a storm Jonah's way to get Jonah to obey. And I want you to know something here this morning. If you're running from God, and I'm here to tell you, there's a chance there's a storm coming your way. If you're wanting to be disobedient, if you're wanting to go against God's will and go against God's will, there may be a great chance that there is a storm headed your way. I believe there are three kinds of storms that God will send your way. And I believe this. And you know what? They can come in every Christian's life. The first one is a protecting storm. The second one is a perfecting storm. And the third one is a correcting storm. The correcting storm is where Jonah was at. But I want to go over all three of them just very quickly here if I can. The protecting storm was just like the one that happened when Jesus performed the miracle with the five loaves and the two fishes. But do you remember what he did? And I'm going to read this to you. I want to read this to you in Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I want you to understand this. I believe Jesus knew that there was going to be a storm out on that sea. So why would he send his disciples out on that sea knowing that there was going to be a storm? Well, I'll just put it to you bluntly. To protect them. You say, what, preacher? Are you going nuts? You're going to send somebody into the midst of a storm to protect them? Yes. How did he do that? Well, if you read John 6:15, this is another part about this same story. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him away by force, and it said, and to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain by himself. This is right after he had fed that 5,000 plus women, plus children. So we're talking probably 10,000 people Jesus fed right here, by the way, with five loaves of bread and two fish. And you may say, that sounds ridiculous. Like I told you before, I believe what the Bible says. I believe it. But anyway, he didn't want his disciples to get involved in that mess. He didn't want them to get involved in them trying to make him a king whenever they did not understand. These people didn't understand what his purpose on this earth was. But they were going to try to make him king. And Jesus sent his disciples out in that storm. He went out and met them later. You know how he did. He walked on the water out to them. Peter got off the boat. We know all that story. But I believe that he sent them that way to protect them. So there, in a sense, he sent them in the midst of the storm, Oki, to protect them. I'm telling you, you may be going through a storm in your life right now. You don't understand it. But I want you to understand, so it may be for God's glory and for your benefit this morning. I don't know. But at the end of that storm, you know what? Jesus is going to be there. Do you understand that? He is going to be there to help you. So that storm may be something there to protect you. Then you know what? There's the perfecting storm. And it was mentioned by Jeff a little bit here this morning whenever he was talking about Joseph. And the story of Joseph can be found over in Genesis, the 37th chapter through the 45th chapter. And I'm going to go over and read all that to you. But a very simple point that I want you to make. Joseph went through so many storms in his life right there. He was sold into slavery. All that was done to him. But praise God, it was done to make him a better person, was it not? It did. So the storm that you may be facing today may be there to make you a better person. It may be the type of storm that will take your life and turn it upside down and make you the kind of person that you need to be. Amen? It could do that. The storm, Joseph ultimately became the second most powerful man. He mentioned in Egypt, well, at the time, Egypt was the power of the world. He became the second most powerful man in the world because of the storms that he went through. It made him a better man. You know what? If we really want to be honest with ourselves, these storms that we face as Christians, if we face them and hold on to Jesus and hold on to our faith through them, how many of us can honestly say that they did not make us a better person at the end of it? Because Jesus Christ is working through. You know what old saying? What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, that's a hard saying. But you know, there's a lot of truth in that. When through the storm, God may be using us to perfect us, to make us perfect, for His good and for His good. And the last one is His correcting storm. And this is what we use. This is what I'm going to talk about with Jonah. In this case, he brought this storm on him because Jonah was a workman for God. God chastened him because He loved him. You're sitting back here today, and it feels like that there are things going on in your life that you cannot explain. The waves are crashing in. Life is hard on you. You can't explain it. I'm telling you, I don't know if God's correcting you, but I want you to know something. We need to understand that these storms are not there just for no reason. They're not there for just any plain old reason. God uses correction to bring us to where we need to be. Praise God. We need to think, how do we know God loves us? Is it because God lets us have our way to do what we want to do? Do you do your kids that way? I hope not. Do you not have any standards or rules for your kids? Just live as you choose, folks. Just let your kids do what they want. See how far that goes. No. I want you to know, that is not a sign of love. That's a sign of neglect. God does not neglect His people. God loves us. He's not going to let us go and just go haphazardly do what we want in this life and then just whatever makes us happy. If He sees fit to correct us, to bring us back in line like He did Jonah, He will do that. And it's because He loves us. That's why when we start down the wrong path, He may send a storm our way to get us started in the right direction again. You know what? I've had it done to me. There's got to be a lot of us in here that can say the same thing. I've had it done to me. You know, not because He hates us, but because He loved us. Hebrews 12:6. Mark it in your Bibles. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. If He doesn't love you here this morning, He's not going to put the Holy Spirit to condemn you. If He loves you, the Holy Spirit is going to condemn you when you do wrong. Am I right? It will. As we sometimes endure the divine discipline, you know what? Remember that God is treating us like one of His own children. And we should be praising Him for that. I'm one of His. You know what? The things that we endure in this life sometimes for Him, we should thank Him and praise Him. Because He loves us enough to do it. Amen? He does. The storm is a sign that God had done. He wasn't done with Jonah yet. So the storm in your life this morning may be an indication that God is not done with you this morning. He's not done yet. You've got something else to do. Just be willing to step out and do it. Just be willing to do it. So the storm is brewing. Jonah is praying, right? Here's a storm down the bottom. This ship is the bad storm. These were seasoned sailors, by the way, on this boat with Jonah. They were seasoned. They weren't just these first timers. This was a bad storm. So Jonah was down there praying, right? He was down there asleep. Isn't the church world like that today? Is that not a picture of the church world today? Here the world is falling apart around us, and it seems like we're asleep. The world's afraid, and the church is asleep. The world's asking questions, and the church has no answer for it, it seems like. People are dying, and they're in their sins, and the church is asleep. Praise God, we're the ones that should be spreading the message, should we not? We're the ones that should be telling the world if they have questions, if they're asleep. Some in the church world might resent what I'm about to say. But listen to me. When's the last time you engaged anyone in a conversation about Jesus Christ? I'm asking you personally this morning. I'm not asking if you ask them to go to church. I'm not asking you if you ask them about coming to the church program. I'm not asking you if you ask them about church activities. I'm asking you, when's the last time you got somebody in a conversation about Jesus Christ? That's what matters. That's what saved me, was Jesus Christ. That's what saved me. Romans 13, 11, and 12. Knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's get this stuff out of the way. Let's get the nonsense out of the way. Let's get it out of there. Let's bring Jesus Christ. You know the problem with sleeping sometimes is you don't know that you fell asleep. Tink can tell you this. I'll be at the house sitting on the couch. I'm tired. And I'll either start reading or we're sitting there watching television. And she'll be sitting over the chair and she'll say, "Are you awake?" And I fell asleep. I didn't even realize it. You didn't realize. And you know what I'll do sometimes? You know what your person will do sometimes? They'll ask you, "Well, did you see that?" And I'll say, "Well, yeah. You know, you try to say, "Yeah, I seen that." Right? Oh yeah, there's people like that. There's people when you fall asleep, sometimes you don't even know you're asleep. Also, somebody wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know what? They call you and they wake you up and they say, "Did I wake you up?" What do you say sometimes? "Well, no." Have you not? Oh yeah, you've been there. Oh yeah, I can see it in your faces. You've been here. But listen to me. Listen, sometimes we don't even know we're asleep. Sometimes coming to church world is the same way. You know the problem with sleeping, you don't even know it sometimes. You don't even know it. Sometimes you deny it. My great passion, and I hope you all know this, my great passion is to wake up the church world. That's my passion. You know what? I want to see the church on fire for God. So that, you know what? She showed me a text or something off the other day. Stephanie did. I want to be so full of God, of the Holy Spirit, that whenever a mosquito bites me, it goes off singing, "There's power in the blood." Have you ever seen that? And I want the church to be that way. Praise God. Praise God. Just like in verse 6, 8, the soldiers had to wake up that sleeping prophet. Sometimes the world's knocking. They know what's needed. And they have to wake up the church world to get the answers. Every man cried out to his own God. In verse 5, every man cried out to his own God. The storm hit everyone. And they cried out to their own God. They may not have believed in the real God right then. But you know, every man's religious in his own way. And they were crying out to their God. Listen, they cried out to him. Because they were in peril. You know what people always do when a crisis hits? You know what it is? I can count. Maybe I can't count the number of people that whenever a crisis hits their home, they come to church. Been there. I've seen it. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you. But once the crisis is over, you may not see them until the next crisis. And there are times and things like that. And I wonder about that sometimes. But isn't that the way people do? Whenever there's in trouble, whenever things are going on, then they want to yell out to God. Then they want to come to God. Verses 8 and 10, Jonas should have known better. In verses 8 and 10 there it says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people thou art?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew." Listen to this. "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea." He made this sea and the dry land. Jonah knew what he should have been doing. But you know what? He had done what he should not have done. He did not obey God. As he put it upon their heart to share your faith. Listen to me. You have refused to teach. Maybe you've refused to preach. I don't know what it is. Maybe you've been disobedient to God. God may be talking to somebody here this morning. I'm telling you, I believe that he does. I believe he can. He may be talking to you this morning. You know what? Don't get on a boat and run the opposite way. Go to a God that is that powerful and that mighty. If he's giving you something to do, I'm here to tell you, he will make a way for you to do it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why would you run from a God so powerful? Why would you do that? Why would you? You see, those non-believing sailors, Jonah is nuts to run from a God. They were telling him, you're nuts to run from a God that powerful. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're running from God, I say this with love in my heart, you're nuts to run from a God that powerful. You're not going to hide. You're not going to get away from him. You're just not going to do it. I want to tell you a true story. This happened in Texas. This happened in Texas, a true story. There was a church down there, and a very nice church. But anyway, they were building a bar right across the street from this church. And I think it was one of those strip bars or nudie bars, whatever. They were building it right across from the church. The church had petitioned. The church had done all manner of things, and they were even praying that this bar would not be built close to their church. So they prayed and they prayed. The work went on the bar. A week before the bar was to open, lightning struck that bar and burned it down. Burned it down. Now get this. The bar owner took them to court and sued them because they had prayed that their bar was destroyed. Took them to court. The judge, and I'll read to you what the judge said. The judge read through the plaintiffs and the defendant's reply, and this is what the judge had to say. Of course, the church denied that their prayers had anything to do with it. I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, isn't that the way sometimes the world has to wake us up? Do they not? Do they not? These non-believing sailors called out Jonah for being a hypocrite. And you know what's worse than being called a hypocrite? And that's being one. That's being one. They called him out. They called him out for being a hypocrite. And Jonah admits he's a Hebrew. He admits he's a prophet. He admits it. Jonah was told to do to make a storm. Jonah told him what to do to make a storm stop. He said, you got to throw me overboard. You got to get me out of here. But you know what they did? Those people thought that they could go ahead and take care of the situation themselves. Those sailors thought it. So they tried to row, and we know this, I read the story, tried to row and get a little closer to land. Did they not? I want to tell you something this morning. You cannot save yourself this morning. You cannot do it. You know what? You may think that you could cuss a little less. You may think that you could maybe give a little more in the offering plate. I want you to know something this morning. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. All these other things in this world, they don't do nothing for you what Jesus Christ can do to you in your soul. Jonah became the picture of what Jesus Christ was. Did he not? They threw him overboard. He was swallowed up by this great fish. And let me tell you something this morning. They want to talk about whether or not this was a whale. The Bible says it was a great fish. Actually, Jesus even mentioned it over in his scripture that it was a great fish or a whale. But anyway, it means sea monster. I want to tell you something. It was something a fish was prepared. It could have been a largemouth bass, for all I know, that God prepared it. I don't know. It could have been a whale. You know what? I believe this. If God would have wanted him to be swallowed by a lion and would have been spit out 3 days later, it would have happened. So it doesn't make any difference. God prepared it. And I want you to know something. Well, even in your storms this morning, God has prepared a way. A way. It may not be pleasant. Oh, well, I'm going to tell you something else about old Jonah. Old Jonah was down in that fish's belly, and to show you how hard-headed he is, he didn't even pray for 3 days, and then at the end of the 3 days, he prayed. Did you notice that? Read the scripture. He prayed that at the end of the third days and prayed to God that he would get out of it. And then after that, the old whale took him. You know what? The fish, whatever it was, took and spit him out where he needed to be. As you're going through the storms in this life, understand this. Understand this. If you let God direct your path, and this, you're going to be spit out just where you need to be. Are you not? You're going to be just exactly where God wants you to be. Jesus himself said Jonah was a foreshadowing of his death and resurrection in Matthew 12, 39 and 40. Jesus said, no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's where he's going to be. Jonah lived after this, did he not? A picture of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what this was. Jesus Christ was in that earth 3 days and three nights, but praise God, he lives today.
Amen.
He lives. But God still needed to move Jonah from point A to point B, did he not? He customized his own little watercraft, and we know what that was. Got him where he needed to be, and put him where he needed to be. I'll tell you what, folks, to show you that, praise God, obedience sometimes is hard to swallow in our lives also, is it not? It can be. But you know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice, is it not? I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. We need to obey God this morning. We need to obey Him. If you would, come get a song this morning.